Well, I want to continue preaching, if God would allow us here in just a minute. I failed to mention earlier, we've got joy bags back there. This is a wonderful ministry. You take this bag, it's descriptive of what's in here, or not what's in here, what needs to be in here, how you can fill this up, and bring it back. And Brother Nathan, Miss Therese will take care of all of it, getting it to kids around the world. And you choose which one on this sheet that's in there. They're out there behind guest services, and love for all of those to get taken soon. We did a lot last year. We're planning to do more this year. And it's just us. All the gospel is in all of them as they go out. So if you're interested in those, you can pick them up back behind guest services. I want to preach in Luke chapter number 12, if God would let me. Luke chapter number 12. We'll begin in verse number 1. As you find your place there in Luke chapter 12, we'll start there. But I read this story. This is supposed to be a true story. It's bad when a pastor has to say that. Listen, I'm not preaching now. I'm telling you the truth. So it was an actual radio conversation in October 10th, 1995. And this was between a chief of naval operations on October the 10th up in Canadian waters. And the transmission went like this: please change your direction 15 degrees to the north to avoid a collision. It was responded back: we recommend you divert your course 15 degrees to the south to avoid a collision. Come back to him: this is the captain of a U.S. Navy ship. I say again, divert your course. Response: no, I say again, you divert your course. And the captain was enraged at this point. He said, this is the aircraft carrier Enterprise. We are a large warship of the United States Navy. Divert your course now. The response came back: this is the lighthouse, your call. So, some things don't move. Now, we were preaching through Luke in verse of the chapter before, 11, verse 45 down to 54. Jesus is giving a few more woes to the lawyers. The lawyers, they were experts about the law. You see those ones in verse 52, ones up in verse number 47. They give some woes, but I'm not going to spend the time preaching through that. We covered it for the most part, that aspect from the last sermon. But look at verse number 54 of chapter 11. He wants you to see the mentality that Jesus was dealing with as he would come in these areas and he would minister. They, laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. And so that's the mentality that Jesus was having to deal with. People would come not to hear what he had to say, not to worship, some would, yes, and not even to discover, not to say, well, I'm on the fence, I need to figure it out. But instead, they would wait and listen just so they could pick something apart and try to claim he was, as they did before, he's the devil working. They tried to choose other things that they would say about him. And so that's the landscape that Jesus was ministering into. And then in verse number 1 of chapter 12, in the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees. The readers in that day, or the hearers rather, in that day would have known exactly what leaven was. Leaven, of course, every time it's seen in the Old Testament or New Testament, either one, is a picture of something that grows. It's some decaying. We all know what it is for bread. And so they would have known quickly what it was when he said this. And it would have been like yeast that would have just spread quickly and quietly throughout the whole bread. And he goes on to say what leaven he's talking about. Of course, it's not real leaven. There wasn't anything wrong with that necessarily, but which is, the end of verse 1, hypocrisy. For there's nothing covered that shall be revealed, that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. The Bible says over in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And he says here, but beware of the leaven of hypocrisy. Over in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 1, it talks about some of that hypocrisy. Jesus said this: to be seen of men. That's why some people do things. So a hypocrite is one that appears to be one thing, yet instead he's something or she's something totally different. And so Jesus said, watch out for this leaven, which is hypocrisy, to appear one way, but in actuality be something different. And we see him talking, though. We see him turn the corner, for there is nothing, verse number 2, that shall not be revealed. Verse 3, therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear of in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And let me just stop and say, for you and I to think that you'll keep anything away from people is a mistake, because it will come out eventually. My dad always used to say, just tell the truth, and that way you don't have to remember who you're talking to. If you start telling lies, you got to remember, okay, which one did I tell? Who did I tell this lie to? And I say, verse number 4, I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you, whom ye shall fear, fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. And not are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? That would have been just 2 copper pieces, basically, like, well, you'd say 2 pennies. And not one of them is forgotten before God. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. I'll stop there. We'll finish the last 3 verses before we get done today, Lord willing. But I want to show us here that Jesus starts off saying, beware of that leaven, which is hypocrisy. And then he kind of turns the corner and then talks about the position of protection that a believer has. Let's look into it. Verse number 4 and 5, we see this. We realize this morning the limit of man's power. Verse number 4, be not afraid of them that kill the body. Some of these people that were listening on that day as Jesus was talking here and telling these things, some of them, several of them, were going to die martyr's death. Of course, Judas, we know what happened to him as he was a devil, but we know that the other 11, history would tell us that almost all of them, with the exception of John, all of them die a martyr's death. They were going to die for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you think about that, Jesus is telling them, I say unto you, friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body and don't have any power after that. But Jesus goes on to say, what you need to be afraid of is that person, that one that can have the power beyond that. And so basically it would be to say, if somebody can only do physical harm to you, that's not a big worry. But what is a worry is where your eternal soul is going to live forever, if it's going to be in a place called hell. And so we understand that, we realize the limit of man's power. Polycarp, I read about him again this week. He was arrested in 155 AD. So in the first couple of centuries after Christ, 155, the Roman authorities arrested him and demanded that he recount and renounce the name of Jesus Christ, with the understanding he would be set free. He said this, I quote, is recorded, 86 years have I served him, and he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my King who saved me? What a powerful statement. And when Jesus said, don't worry about those that can only kill the body, the physical part, the body is only just slightly important, but we understand that the real value or the real concern is, if you're listening this morning and your body is fine, but your soul is unsaved, my friend, you don't have to be worried about what will happen to you in this physical world. You need to be worried about what will happen to you after this life is over. Where are you going to go when this life ceases to exist, when your body isn't operating anymore? My friend, that's the one that should be concerned this morning. You may be doing very well in your life and you may think that you've got everything taken care of, but you're thinking on the outside. My friend, the inside is much more important. The Bible talks about the heart, which is the seat of emotions, the very innermost part of you. If on that side you are not doing well because you do not have Christ, my friend, you need to take great caution this morning and come to Jesus. But we realize the limit of man's power. But look in verse number 6 and 7, and we're going to see that we can rest in God's protection. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, for 2 pennies? Not one of them is forgotten before God. but even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are more valuable than many sparrows. Look at the love and the care and the compassion that God has for us. Verse 7, the very hairs of your head are numbered. I looked it up. The average man has 80 to 150,000 pieces of hair up there. So average would be about 100,000, they said. Now, some in this room, myself included, we're making it much easier on God. He doesn't have to count near as much as he used to. As if that's a problem. You say, Pastor, I don't understand how something, somebody, God, could have all of that information. Let me just give you this little snippet that I just realized this week. As I was getting that information, not only did they tell me that 80 to 150,000, somewhere there, 100,000 is the average for a man, but it also told me that in just a second that blonde-headed people, they have more hairs on their head because usually blonde is a little finer, that redheads have less because there's usually more coarse, and so brown heads somewhere in the middle and black hair and all that. And so that just came in just an instant as I Googled it or ChatGPT'd it, however I got it. And I thought about this to that person who says, I don't understand how God could have all that information. How could he keep it all? And nothing ever, as Curtis Hudson used to say, did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God? I mean, he's always known all of it. You say, how could God know all that? Well, I was able to, by the benefit of some smart people that God gave some intelligence, I was able to find that information out like that by somebody who developed all those information algorithms or whatever they did to gather all that stuff, and it was immediately available. You say, okay, well, here's where I'm going with that. The reason that some people could develop all the technology that would make that information so readily available, the only reason they could do it was because God opened up, I think about, put some stuff in their head that he didn't put in my head. So if we're going to be in awe of somebody who can come up with AI and we come up with somebody that develops all this stuff, how much more should we be in awe of the God who allowed that person to figure some of these things out? And so our God, we can rest in his protection because he says they're going to sell 5 sparrows for 2 pennies. He said, and those things, nobody cares about those little birds, but God does. And he says, you're a whole lot more important than those sparrows flying out through there. We're going to see the security that God gives. Not only is he going to say your hairs of your head are numbered and you're more important than these sparrows, but look at verse number 8. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God in heaven in God's presence. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. I see, lastly, the recognition of safety in the true professor, the person that is a true possessor of the Lord Jesus Christ, meaning that he's yours and you're his. Verse number 9 says, but he that denieth, there's a whole lot of people right now that are getting a lot of airtime, that they're making a denial that there's a God. And right now, it's received by many people in our world as so superior, and they're getting accolades. But my friend, if Scripture is true, and you know I believe it is, he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. I read this week of Kayla Mueller. She was captured by ISIS in 2013. In Aleppo is where she was captured, and she was kidnapped along with a group. Most all of her group got released. She did not. She was held captive for about 18 months and then died in captivity. But what many of the folks that had been captive with her said that there was a continual theme in this young lady's life. She died at 26, I believe was her age when she died. But she remained steadfast, they told me, different accounts. She remained steadfast in her Christian faith and trying to encourage the others as they were all in danger of ending up like she did. And I thought about that as I was reading through this and studying and thought about the safety that God gives to the person who truly knows the Lord. Here's a young lady who would go to heaven at the captor's hand and would not make it back to safety. Yet for all reports that we have, all the way until the end, she stayed encouraging and she stayed sure in her faith that what she was going through was the least of what she was worried about. She was more worried about eternity than she was what was happening right there. And my friend, I think about you and I think about me. Would we have that faith, that certainty, that surety that Caleb Mueller had? Is your faith placed solely in Jesus Christ? I meet people every week, as you do, and oftentimes get into conversations about God and Scripture and Christ. And so many times the answer comes back to a cloudy position that they have that's sort of not articulated it well at all. And perhaps it's just not articulated. Maybe it's possessed. I don't know. That's the God's a judge. But so many times people will have this fuzzy, cloudy position to say, yeah, I'm working on some of those areas in my life. Listen, my friend, I'm working on areas in my life too. But I'm not working on any of the areas in my life to get me to heaven. I'm working on areas of my life because I do know Christ and He's nudging me in different areas. John, you need to straighten this up. John, you need to go further in that. John, you need to be more faithful in this. John, you need to be more. And so I'm working in lots of areas, but I'm not working at all so that God will one day look down and say, now, John, you're ready to go to heaven. As the boys sang just a little bit ago, I have an advocate. My advocate pleads. Jesus Christ, the righteous. And so there's safety in this position because Jesus says, he that confessed me before men, him shall also the Son of Man confess before the angels of God. So as you look at this whole passage, it boils down to this. We are wonderfully blessed and protected in God's hands as believers. If you know Christ this morning, you are in a blessed position that you could not be in a better one. In John chapter 10, verse number 28, the Bible says, Jesus said, speaking, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He goes on to say that my hand is in the Father's hand. The next verse, number 29, says, no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And that's not because you work to get there. You were placed there by the good grace of God when you put your faith in Him. So are you in that hand today? If you are, my friend, you need to take comfort and strengthen yourself in these great truths. An old evangelist came to a church, and I've mentioned this story before, but it fits so well here. Came to this church. He knew the church. He knew this lady who he was talking to. And he asked this, he said, sister, how are you doing? And she answered back, I'm doing pretty good under the circumstances. And he could had a relationship with her. He says, as a believer, what in the world are you doing under the circumstances? He said, you know Christ, you're supposed to be above those circumstances. And my friend, that's where we're supposed to be living as well. I have questioned and wrestled with different things this week. And this morning, early this morning, I had to give myself a spiritual pep talk. And you get down about certain things. I had to remind myself whose I am, who saved me, who's got me and who's keeping me and who my advocate is. And my friend, if you're saved in here this morning, I challenge you to do the exact same thing. And if you're not this morning, my friend, you've got some stern warnings from Scripture right here. If you're not going to receive Christ, then my friend, today's the day you need to. I'm going to ask the ladies to come to the instruments, and as they come, invitation is twofold. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, my friend, please don't let another Sunday pass without receiving Him as your personal Savior, putting your faith and trust in Him for full forgiveness of your sin. And if you are saved in here this morning, you do know the Lord. Have you been living under the circumstances like that good sister was that the evangelist talked to? Maybe you're like me and you need to give yourself a spiritual pep talk and remind yourself of whose you are. Whatever the need is, I challenge you to do business with the Lord as they begin to play. If you're able to, would you stand together with me? Brother Daniel's coming and would love to take a Bible and help anybody. If you've got some spiritual need heavy on your heart, would you come? Maybe you're here not sure that you're saved. My friend, please take that stern warning from Scripture. He that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. I forewarn ye whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Please, my friend, don't leave this moment of this day that God's brought you here in without putting your faith in Jesus Christ alone. If you need help with that, you need somebody to pray with you, guide you, help you, you come. Maybe you're a believer, but there's some things in your life that have rocked your world. The old preacher said it right. I have stumbled on the rock, but the rock has never stumbled under me. And what he was meaning by that is, I have gotten flimsy sometimes, but Jesus Christ, my rock, never has. My friend, let's rejoice in that this morning. Let's take comfort in that this morning. Encourage ourselves in the Lord with that today. God, speak to your heart. I invite you to come. Thank you so much. You may look this way and be seated for just a moment. Have a wonderful opportunity today. We got this wonderful, precious family. Brother Joel, Miss Insay were here with us for a long time, and the Lord moved them over to Virginia. But they're a precious, precious couple. Love the Lord Jesus, trying to live their lives for Him, and God brought this little one. Here he is, and we are wanting to today give a prayer of dedication over little Prince M.M. Azugo. And Joe and Insay are dear friends. Brother Andy and Miss Stephanie and have ministered to them again and again, and they are blessing back and forth. But I always like to reiterate that at a time like this, baby dedication is not salvation. It's not bringing salvation to any house. But what it is doing really is focusing more on mom and dad, because they are dedicated themselves and the baby to the Lord. Because every gift, every good and every perfect gift cometh down from above. And we understand that God blesses our homes, and God has blessed this home. And so as they dedicate this little one to Jesus, we're going to pray that one day, very soon, when he understands his need of salvation, as he grows and develops, that he'll put his faith in Jesus Christ. But we want to dedicate today. Won't you all come up, Brother Andy, and all come. We'll gather around, and Brother Andy is one of our deacons as well, so Andy, I'm going to get you to pray. And so as he prays, I would like for you to pray with us. And we're going to pray for this family that God would let them raise this little one for his glory, his honor. And they would truly see him raised up in a way that would please the Lord.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day, this opportunity we can gather here as our brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord. But first of all, I want to thank you so much for this service, Lord. We thank you for being our advocate. Lord, what we didn't do a thing to deserve it, Lord, but you love us. Father, right now I want to lift up the Jugo family. And I pray that you be with Joel and Nince, that they would raise this boy for you and continue to honor and glorify you through their lives and keep you first in all they do. Father, please be with us today and thank you for loving us. And we love you now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. All God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen to that. What a joy it is to get to experience this today. And I'm thankful that God has brought this wonderful family our way and for today. Well, tonight, Brother Michael Turner and Victoria will have a reception after the service. And we'll get to be a blessing to them. Brother Michael, would you mind coming to dismiss us in prayer? And this is the guy we'll come and honor tonight. He's not much, I know, but... Oh, that's what Victoria said. I'm just repeating what I heard, Michael. But would you go up to the pulpit there and dismiss us in prayer? No, we love Michael, and God brought he and Victoria together, and they're going to Burkina Faso and leaving on August 11th. And so tonight will be the last time we get to fellowship with them before they leave as far as for service. And I'd like for you to come and stay with us. We'll go after the service over to the Family Life Center. We'll have some cupcakes and drinks and different things. And we'll get to express our love to them. But we're grateful for the Turners. God's blessed them with two little girls. And we're thankful for the opportunity we have to invest in their ministry as they go serve the Lord together. So I want to thank you all again, each of you today. And then, Brother Michael, why don't you pray for us?
Lord, we love you, and we thank you so much for this time that we get to have to be here. And Lord, I thank you so much for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross so that way we can have eternal life, and that you rose him from the grave 3 days later to give us hope of that eternity. And Lord, I'm so thankful for this sweet church and for all these people that decided to come out today to spend time in your word and with other believers so that way we can better love you and better serve you. And I thank you for this message this morning, Lord. Lord, would you help us to live a life of truth, to live a life that professes your name, that puts you above all. And Lord, I just ask that you continue to bless, continue to use this church, continue to use me and my wife to see people saved, to see people grow in their faith and desiring to love you. And we just ask that you bless our time today, our fellowship. We ask that you would be honored and glorified in everything that we say, think, or do. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.